Christian. The word Christian is only used three times in the King James Version of the Bible. First time is in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. It says, "And when we had found him, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Then again in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, it's used, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And then finally in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." Many times the believers in Christ were referred to as followers. That's exactly what the Strong's definition of Christian means, or gives, is being a follower of Christ. And to be a follower in this case means to conform to Christ, to know and understand Christ, what he taught, and then we should conduct ourselves accordingly. The ultimate goal of a Christian should be Christ-likeness. Let's look at some of the things in the Bible that the Bible says we should do as Christians. Our text is going to be starting with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Start with the first five verses there. "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Paul is explaining to the people of the congregations of Thessalonia that they already know what God has commanded of them. They know what is expected of them. And he knows that their faith is strong. In fact, they are renowned for their faith and is used as an example for what Christians are supposed to be. If you look back in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, starting with verse 6, it says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything." Their faith, their belief in God, was so strong that it was renowned throughout the area. It was something that preceded Paul in some cases, according to what this says. As the apostles had taken care to conduct themselves properly, so had the Thessalonians. However, it's not enough to abide in faith. We must abound in the work of faith. We must not only persevere to the end, but we should grow better and walk more evenly and closely with God as we grow. Just as having knowledge and not using it gains us nothing, having faith and not using it does not glorify God. To teach men what they should believe, but also how they should live. What good would it do for them to tell what they believed if their actions did not confirm what they said? The only goal a Christian should have is to please God and to be accepted by Him. The body He has given is not to be used for glorifying the flesh. It should be treated with honor and respect. We should cleanse ourselves of all filthiness, both of the flesh and the spirit. Now let's look at verses 6 through 12 in chapter 4. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. According to this, we are to be honest with our dealings with all people. We are not to take advantage of them. We are warned that if we do, God will be the avenger of any misdeeds. So this also tells us that if we are taken advantage of, it's not necessarily our place to take vengeance or to try to get even with them. That is something God will do. When we do deceive someone, we are not just dishonoring that person, we are dishonoring God. We are to have brotherly love in our hearts and our actions, not just for our brethren, but for those that are without, the strangers that we encounter. And people are watching us as we call ourselves Christians. They look at us and determine whether or not they want to be further connected with Christianity, or if they feel that because of our actions or our words, maybe they should shun it. I came across a story on the internet. I don't know if it's true, but it's written as being true, but I'd like to share it with you. It was called "It Was Only a Quarter." Several years ago, a preacher from out of state accepted a call to a church in Houston, Texas. Some weeks after he arrived, he had occasion to ride the bus from his home to the downtown area. When he sat down, he discovered that the driver had accidentally given him a quarter too much in change. As he considered what to do, he thought to himself, "You'd better give the quarter back. It would be wrong to keep it." Then he thought, "Oh, forget it. It's only a quarter. Who would worry about this little amount? Anyway, the bus company gets too much fare. They would never miss it, accept it as a gift from God, and keep quiet." When his stop finally came up, he paused momentarily at the door. Then he handed the quarter to the driver and said, "Here, you gave me too much change." The driver smiled at him and replied, "Aren't you the new preacher in town? I've been thinking a lot lately about going somewhere to worship. I just wanted to see what you would do if I gave you too much change. Be at church on Sunday." When he stepped off the bus, the preacher grabbed the nearest light bulb because he almost went to his knees. He thought to himself, "Oh God, I almost sold your son for a quarter." Our lives are the only Bible some people will ever read. It's really scary as an example of how much people watch us as Christians and will put us to the test. Always be on guard. Remember that you carry the name of Christ on your shoulders when you call yourself a Christian. I know when I was in management at Lazy Boy, you had to find the people that you could trust, the people that you could depend on to keep a secret, to make things get done. One of the things I would do as a manager over several supervisors I would tell them certain things that should not necessarily be general knowledge, but it wouldn't hurt if it was known. And invariably, I would find out who I could trust, because usually within 45 minutes to an hour after I'd tell something, I had one person that could always get back with me and let me know what I'd said. Out of all the supervisors, I found two that I could genuinely trust with anything. Just as Christ expects us to be trusted with the Word of God, we need to remember that we will be tested by people. Let's change our focus a little bit now and turn to Titus and look at some more things that we are told to consider. In chapter 2, starting with verse 1, we are told, "But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given much to much wine, teachers of good things. To be sober, grave, temperate means to be honest, discreet, and whole. And we are to have love. And the word patience in this case, in the Hebrew, or the Greek, excuse me, carries the connotation of continuing patience, not just at times, but a continuing patience with people that we meet. Starting with verse 4 in chapter 2, that goes on to say that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Sober in this case means to be discreet. They are to teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. And in verse 5 it says to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let me ask you, how is the best way for the older women of the congregation to teach the younger women? I dare say it's the best way is to set the example, to be the ones that the younger women, the girls, can come to and ask questions and know that they will be handled in a discreet manner and that they will get the answers that they should get. It goes on to say, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having nothing to say of you." In other words, if somebody does say something to you or about you, people would know from the very beginning that it's not so, and that it would be an embarrassment to the one that said such a thing in the first place. It also goes on to tell us that we should be good employees. It says, "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters and to please well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior, in all things." In other words, don't embezzle. Have moral convictions and put things in proper order as they should be to show that your master can trust you, your employer can put faith in you because you are a Christian. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Then going on to chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto men." We are to obey the laws of the land. as much as they do not interfere with the laws of God. When you go down the road and you've got children in the back seat, you jump in the car, you don't throw your seatbelt on, they notice. Get out on the highway, you step on the gas pedal, and you're doing 80 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone. They notice. What does that tell them about your respect for the law of man? And how are they going to apply that to the law of God? Bobby stated a few weeks ago in one of his sermons that on average, a person influences about 250 people during their lifetime. Now, of course, being a congregation like that, like this, some of us would influence the same people. But consider, even if it cuts it down to 200 people per person that we influence in a lifetime, think of how many people this congregation influences. We do need to set examples for the people that we encounter. We need to set examples for our friends, our neighbors. More importantly, we need to set examples for our children and our youth. Show them what it means to be a Christian. I'd like to leave you with this thought. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. We all have a very good start on how to learn what God expects from us. That start is right here in the Bible. I would suggest reading it, knowing God's Word, and responding to it accordingly. For some, that might mean coming to the Lord, asking for forgiveness of your sins, repenting, and becoming a Christian. For others, that might mean repenting after already being a Christian. You know what is in your hearts. You know what you need to do. You know your responses that are required. If you have a need tonight, I ask that you come forward and let us help you as we sing our song of invitation.